realfaith.org.au.
A large component of medical practice is dealing with people's social and mental problems. And through that process, you get to know people pretty well. And one of the things is that people like their doctors to be human, in a sense, for their doctors to be able to perhaps share some of their own journey.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Once again, our guests today on their program are Warren and Janet Thayer, and I should say that's Dr. Warren Thayer. We're going to find out more about their story. Last time we found out how they met. Actually, they met at Janet's brother's funeral, and she put her faith in the Lord, and they married about a year later after that. Let's pick up the rest of the story. But first, let's find out a little bit about your background, Warren. You were raised in a Christian family, or how did you become a Christian?
Yes, well, I was raised in a Christian family. My father came to know the Lord.
Last time we heard how it was actually your father who led your wife, your future wife, to the Lord.
Yeah. But something we didn't tell you last time, and that has actually come to mind, is that I was subsequently told that when I was 6 years of age, my Sunday school teacher was actually Adrian.
My brother.
My brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, where this was in Perth or?
In the same Midland Church. The same Sunday school that
I had gone to. Sounds like you were in a small town together.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was an outer suburb of Perth, Midland, sort of a working class area. And my father was a pastor of the Midland Methodist Church. Janet's brother was the... my Sunday school teacher, and I can't remember, but I'm told that when I was six, that I gave my life to the Lord as a young child in this Sunday school class, and it's like a lot of things, you don't remember all the details, and being brought up in a Christian home, it's very easy for your faith, in a sense, to become very sanitized, and it becomes very much a cultural thing or something that's just passed down. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until much older in life that my faith became real for me, and I really started to think about the claims that Jesus had on my life and what it meant to actually be a follower of him. And so the journey of my faith has been sort of mixed and intertwined with our marriage and how we've grown together as a couple and in our faith as a couple. It's been intertwined with how I've grown and developed as a doctor and in my practice. And so part of the life journeys that we've been on have been entwined very much with my Christian faith and how that's grown and changed and matured over time.
Yes, because Warren was in his fifth year of medicine when we first married, so he still had another couple of years to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and we had a child 9 months after getting married. That was interesting when he had to do exams.
Oh,
screaming baby in the background. Yeah. That was...
the challenges of
it
life.
Was.
Now, you decided to be a doctor, obviously.
Yep.
Did that have anything to do with your faith?
Look, it did, and I can remember coming up to my final exams just saying to the Lord that I would use my my skills and abilities and so forth for him in whatever way that he would see fit. And so I've been, at times I've been more obedient to that pledge than at other times, but it's certainly something that I hope that will define my life and my professional life more and more as I grow older. Janet and I, we started to get involved in talking at marriage conferences.
2008.
Yeah, and after attending a marriage conference. And one of the things that we had to learn was about looking back on our life and some of the stories and the things that had happened to us in the past and how that had shaped us as people and as Christians. And one of the talks that we give is about how easy it is for people to get caught up in a career affair.
Now, what is a career affair?
Well, I mean, we've heard of an affair. In affairs, and people think of the adulterous affairs, but this is actually a part of it where a career affair also can take away a lot of the time.
So instead of spending time with a mistress, a literal person.
Your mistress is your career.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I was a young doctor living with my family up in a small country town in the northwest of Western Australia, up in the Kimberley, up in Derby. And, you know, I was only in my late 20s and I was given an enormous amount of responsibility at times, running a regional hospital and supervising other doctors and making major decisions about people's lives. I was also...
Wow, at such a young age.
Yeah, I was actually seconded to the... to the Royal Flying Doctor Service, and so was involved in coordinating that service and going out on medical evacuation flights. And so my whole life ended up being consumed by the work.
Much needed in that area.
Yeah, and it was valuable. And so things were going really well there from a professional point of view, but at the same time we were struggling with some issues in our family, in our, in my personal faith, wasn't travelling very well. And so I realised that despite the fact that professionally things were going well and I was actually held in high esteem and I won an award by the health department for my work and so forth, I realised that for the sake of our marriage, we needed to return home to Perth.
Because they offered you a lot of money to stay up there, didn't they?
They did, and extra privileges and so forth. But it was a decision that realised that we just had to make a change. And so we came back to Perth, and I had to start all over again.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
In a new practice. And
as the young doctor.
Did that, you did that for the sake of your marriage and for your family?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was because we realised that our marriage was just far more important than any career.
Yeah.
And, and our kids, they needed their dad.
What do you think would have happened if you hadn't made that drastic change? Possibly.
Well.
Caught up with materialism, I think.
Yes, and we've grown in our faith, in our walk, and in our ability to serve the Lord through our local church and in the various ministries that we've been involved in. And I've been able to use my my work as a means of being able to share my faith with the people and the patients that I see from time to time.
Yes, and that's what I want to talk to you about next, because people think, okay, a doctor, you're fixing broken bones, etc. Yeah. What does that have to do with faith? So how do you integrate faith in a non-creepy way?
Yeah. So it's...
Because, I mean, otherwise, like, hey, I'm here to get... Yeah. I have a cold, I want to get better, or I have such and such illness. What does Jesus have to do with anything?
Yeah, that's right. Well, particularly in general practice, it's very much about establishing a longer-term relationship where there is an element of trust that develops. And whilst you may think that you are just talking to people on a physical level all the time, a large component of medical practice is dealing with people's social and mental problems as well. And through that process, you get to know people pretty well. And one of the things is that people like their doctors to be human, in a sense, for their doctors to be able to perhaps share some of their own journey with people. And it's through that exchange and that dialogue over a period of time, you'll find the opportunity to share with people things about your faith. And it's been amazing that the times when I've actually consciously prayed to the Lord before a medical session at all. I'll just say, look, Lord, I'm here. Help me to be prepared to say the words at the right time, how those opportunities, they just arise. And all you have to do as a believer in whatever occupation you're in is to just have those like those spiritual antenna on that are just waiting. And I believe the Lord does provide those opportunities to talk to people when they come up.
Our guests today are Dr. Warren Thier and his wife, Janet, and we're learning about how Warren combines his faith with his medical practice. We'll hear more about that and about how both of them are helping other couples by being involved in marriage ministry. That and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401-132-888. You're listening to Real Faith. Conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and today I'm chatting with Warren and Janet Thier from Perth, Western Australia. And as we heard before the break, Warren is a doctor and has been able to have a positive impact on a number of his patients beyond his medical clinic.
The most memorable time is I used to do obstetrics, and so as a result, you really got to know families really well on an intimate basis.
Especially the women.
And so you talk about all sorts of things, and I do remember one particular young couple who were struggling in their marriage, and it was at that time that this particular young couple spoke to me and confided in me that even though I delivered their children and everything seemed really good on the outside, they looked like a perfect young couple and on the up and up, that they were struggling in their marriage and they were nearing divorce or separation at that time. And as it was, Janet and I had started to be involved in running marriage conferences at that time.
That's right.
Through our local church.
Yeah.
And I just sort of plucked up the courage and sort of said, well, look, we're running a marriage conference, and we're quite upfront about it. I tell people that it's actually presenting God's plan for marriage through a Christian worldview. And so they came, and as a result, they learnt some things about themselves and about their marriage and what they needed to do to try and to salvage their marriage.
Did you speak at the conference?
We did, actually.
Actually, at that one, we didn't. It was the first one that we'd had up in Mundaring, and we didn't speak at that one.
Okay.
But we did speak to them in the intervals.
Oh, yes,
and so we got alongside them, and it was there that we, from that point, that we then offered to whatever couples were there to do a small group studies, the Together series, and just said, you know, whoever wants to come, and they said, yeah, we'll come.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you were able to
develop, and that
them?
Then developed the relationship with me as well, rather than just with Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And so we both became really quite close to them. But it took a period of time before they actually did come to be Christians, but they learned through the marriage material that was being presented and their Bible studies, and their young lads, whilst they were at the Bible study, were going off to the youth group that the church was running, because it was at the same time and it was convenient. So it became a family affair just through coming to that conference.
And I think, you know, being a doctor, you have authority. I mean, you can tell some very important things about people's lives.
Mm.
So if somebody is like, hey, I'm confused, I don't know what to do with my life, I'm having problems in my marriage, you do have a bit of authority, and you're using expertise. It for the Lord's glory.
Yeah. It was. It's quite remarkable when you look back on it.
Any other stories?
Well, I've got something that I think would be very important to interject. The very couple that were our best man and bridesmaid at our wedding, Rex and Swan Lee, were the ones that first introduced us to what was then family life in 1996.
Wow.
That's when they first came, because they come from WA.
Oh, that's
and
right.
So they mentored me when I first became a Christian, and they were in our bridal party. And now, nearly 35 years later, we're still really good friends, and they've had a big part of it. And it's through them that we've actually become involved in this marriage ministry.
And so, helping marriages for all these years.
Yeah.
It's just so God worked. These threads are just coming in all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. I could just sit here all day and hear these stories. Other people that you've had an impact on that you met in your doctor's office.
Yeah, so... I'd have to say it does require a lot of sensitivity when you're in a position of power and authority that you can't be seen or you can't use it to manipulate people. And so you really do need to, in a sense, you have to ask permission from people to talk about these sorts of things.
Because if they ask you, then, of course, you know, they see pictures and whatever you have on the wall.
That's right.
You have a life, and if they ask you, you can share about your life.
Yeah. And at the moment, I'm a director of a counselling service that's been set up in Western Australia called Connections Counselling WA, and it's a not-for-profit organisation that's provides Christian counselling in the sense that it actually provides counselling from a Christian worldview, but it's available for people.
Of any denomination.
Of any denomination or faith or non-faith. Mm-hmm. And so I'll often use that counselling service to refer people to who just need help with negotiating some of the issues or the problems that they're having in their life. And so more recently there was a young woman who had been having some problems in her life and... some failed relationships and she'd had some abuse in her life and so forth. And it was, she'd had some exposure to church in the past, but it was really good to be able to offer this counselling service to her and for me to know that she was going to be really well cared for and that she was going to be loved and she was going to be treated as somebody who inherently had value by a counsellor who had a Christian faith themselves. And, you know, through that, she has dealt with some of the
hurts
and the demons and the struggles that were in her life, and that journey has seen her grow in a beautiful way. And just to see her life change and her journey now is a real encouragement to myself and to others.
Yeah, she's become a friend of our family. Yeah.
Oh, so you know her too?
Yeah. She started coming to our church, and so I got to know her, and then her young daughter came along, and then now her son's come along a few times. So it's
that's fantastic. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but you have been involved with marriage conference speaking, helping people's marriages informally and formally for 10, 15 years, something like that.
Yeah. 1996, I guess it first started back then. Yeah.
So some final words of wisdom to other married couples that you've gleaned from speaking at these conferences and think would really be helpful for younger couples.
Yeah. When you go into marriage, you go into it with stars in your eyes and all sorts of wishful thinking about how good it's going to be. And unless you actually have a plan or a purpose for your marriage on what it's going to look like or what the direction is that you want it to go, you're going to just drift along with what the culture says is the way that a marriage should be. And so one of the things that we have learnt personally and what we try and encourage and teach others is what what God's purpose and plan for marriage is and what that looks like. And we've experienced that in our own lives and in our own marriage, haven't we, Jan?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, God has been the pivotal point, like you envision a triangle, God at the top and you, the two of you at the other two points, and as you grow closer to God, you actually grow closer together. And for me personally, I know without doubt that it is God, the Spirit of God working in me that is changing me and that helps me to be the woman of God that he would have me be and the wife that Warren would have.
Mm.
And that's God's plan. That's God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want to let go of that for anything because I know what I'm like without him. I don't want to be that again.
That's such a beautiful picture of, you know, that triangle, as you mentioned, with God at the top point and then both of us, husband and wife, on each corner.
Point. And as you grow closer to God, you go closer together.
Yeah.
And for any...
And who doesn't want to be closer to God and to each
that's
other?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And in interest of full disclosure, I should say that you were brought here today by our friends Peter and Lynn Manhennett, who have also been involved with marriage
ministry.
They've
been our mentors, actually.
And your mentors for many
years. In our
years.
Training, that's
and
right.
Years ago, my wife Jean and I also spoke at conferences together. And I first heard your story at a marriage conference training that we went to together, I think in about 2008.
Yeah. That's right.
And I had been wanting to hear your story for all these years, so I'm finally so happy that we got you in the studio and able to hear your story.
Mm.
Lastly, I know there's some exciting things briefly that your children are doing, so because the legacy is continuing, and legacy is an important thing as far as your marriage. You do leave a legacy with your children.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, look, they're all on their own individual journeys, but one of our sons has taken a specific interest in Christian apologetics. That's Jordan, and he trained as a chemical engineer first and worked for a year or two, and then he...
He decided there would be more money in doing Christian apologetics.
Yes, well, he's storing up his riches somewhere.
Riches in heaven. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
And so there was a course that was run by Ravi Zachariah Ministries, over in Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And so he...
Prestigious Oxford College in England.
He went over there. He sold all his earthly possessions.
Wow. See, he was serious.
To actually fund it to go over there. And so he was fair dinkum about it.
Yeah.
So he did that course, and then he came back and has done a 3 years... Masters of Divinity at local Trinity Bible College to complete his theological training, and he's now employed by Ravi Zachariah Ministries and travels all around Southeast Asia and interstate. And
wow,
he's been back to the UK since then to be involved in talks. So
talks at universities and camps with a lot of young people, throwing a lot of questions at him.
Yeah.
He's learned how to be able
like,
to...
What was he like as a teenager, Jan, to you?
Oh, he could argue the leg off a flipping chair. And I tell you what...
He's now arguing for the Lord.
He is. I think the Lord's got a wonderful sense of humour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where does he get that from?
Arguing? Probably me.
Now, we'll try to see if we can get him on a future program. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that I was persistent and never gave up hope that we could get you in the studio to record your stories and have this chat today. Thank you so much for sharing your life story.
Well, it's been a wonderful privilege. Thank you very much.
Not threatening at all. Well done.
Thanks a lot. Our guests today have been Warren and Janet Fire. That's Dr. Warren Fire, I should say, from Perth, Western Australia.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.